And I trust that today's service will be an encouragement to you, a real help to you. And aren't you glad that we serve a great God? The Bible tells us, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we want to praise Him in song this morning. So would you stand together as Pastor Cody comes to lead us?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the Bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your souls be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. And it is good to see each and every one of you here. Good to have some first-time guests with us today. And delighted to have those watching by way of Facebook. And just let us know that you're watching today, and so glad that you are. And good to have my daughter and her family here with us. Pastor Tyler will, I called him pastor, he's not pastoring right now. But anyway, but he'll be preaching tonight, and don't want to miss that. Be a blessing to you. And good to have BJ and Kathy with us. I understand they were here last Sunday. I tuned in Sunday night, and I thought, who's that guy leading singing? Doesn't look like Pastor Cody. But anyway, Brother BJ did a good job leading singing here last night as well. So so good to see each and every one of you. Elaine made it safely through her surgery. She told me she's never experienced pain like she's in right now, but the doctor told her it will pass. And so continue to keep her in your prayers. And Maggie came safely through her surgery as well this week, and we're praising the Lord for that. Well, let's pray and ask God's blessings upon this hour. We praise you, Father, this morning for how great you are, and we thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And we thank you for the pathway to forgiveness of our sin. Thank you for your amazing grace. And thank you for each and every one that is here this morning, from our first-time guest to our regular attender. We would ask that you would work in each of our hearts through your word. May, as we sing, we glorify you in that. And may we be responsive to you throughout the service. We praise you as well for your healing touch in our lives. Thankful for the work you are accomplishing in Elaine's life, that she came safely through this major surgery. Just ask that you continue to undertake for her, ease the pain that she's experiencing, and may she be on that good road to recovery in the days ahead. Thank you that Sister Maggie is able to be with us this morning. Ask that you continue to touch her and strengthen her and encourage her. And we thank you again for the freedom we have in our country as of yet to assemble together like we are this morning, and just ask that this freedom would long remain. But whether it does or does not, help us to seize the moment and just live for you And we're mindful this morning of the great truth found in Scripture that Jesus says, I will come again. Not might come again. He said, I will. We just don't know when He's coming, but we know He's coming. So help us to live our life daily in light of the return of the Lord Jesus. So again, stir our hearts throughout this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Our next song this morning will be A New Name Written Down in Glory. I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Our next song this morning, A Passion for Thee. Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after Thine. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart. Father, fill with Thy Spirit and fill surface. Let love for Christ every moment inspire. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be thou my joy and my soul's one desire. A passion for thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul and a thirst for my God. Hear thou my prayer, Lord, thy power impart. Not just to serve, but to love thee with all of my heart. And our last song that we're going to sing as a congregation this morning, It Is Well With My Soul. If you all will stand with me on this last song.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
Begin that last verse. Children 4 years old through sixth grade, be dismissed for children's church, and all workers, go ahead and join them out in the back as we continue singing that last verse. And Lord, haste the day.
And Lord, haste the day.
For the great singing this morning, you may be seated.
Actually, remain standing if you would, and take your Bibles, and let's turn to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in the Word of God this morning. Trust you're able to bring a copy of the Word of God. If you weren't, you can follow along with someone who did. Maybe you can find it on your phone there. But Matthew chapter 24, looking at verse 42 through verse number 44. Matthew 24 and verse 42 through verse 44. Jesus teaching here says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Just a little over a week ago, my wife and I traveled to Baltimore to see my daughter and her family. And along the way, we saw several signs, obviously. One of the most common signs we saw, construction ahead. Particularly if you live in Michigan, construction ahead. Then on my wife's phone with the GPS, it would tell us a cop is ahead. That was always a helpful one. But then different signs as you go through Ohio and Pennsylvania, letting you know how far till the next town and so forth, the next plaza, the next toll booth. All helpful signs along the way to make you have a comfortable trip, if you would, to get to your destination. Well, today I want to begin a series, a four-part series of messages entitled Taken. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ one day is going to be taken out of this world. We are going to be raptured, and we don't know when that hour is coming. We do know that it is coming. Jesus said, "If I go, I will come again." And so we are not looking for signs, if you would. We are looking for Jesus Christ to come at any moment. We believe that He can come and He will come at any moment. But may I say that He does give us some signs along the road to indicate that He is coming soon. You've heard me say this several times. We're not looking for signs, we're looking for the Savior. But the signs do indicate that we've got to be closer than we think. The Bible says that our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And so here in chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us some signs along the road to indicate to us that His coming draweth nigh. So let's pray, and then I'll have you get seated. We thank You, Father, for the power of Your Word. We thank You for the great truth that Jesus many times spoke of, and that was His coming. He said, "I will come again. Not I might, but I will." And we are called to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so help us now to have an understanding of this passage of Scripture here in Matthew 24, what the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing at, and then help us to make application in our life. Because again, we don't want to just fill our head with facts and with knowledge. We want to take Your truth and let it sink into our hearts that we may be more like You and that we may be more fervent in spirit as we serve You. So challenge us, convict us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
That God's not really real. of this world have brought them peace of mind. But what the dawn of each new day, new thrills they try to find, but not until they meet the Prince of Peace will they ever hope to find release. And Jesus is still the answer for a world that's longing for peace. Jesus is still
Jesus definitely is the answer for our world today, isn't he not? And I trust that we as a church will be faithful in proclaiming the great gospel message that Jesus definitely is the answer. Thank you, Mindy. And again, so good to have her home. Be leaving tomorrow, so pray for her safety if you would. Here in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives a detailed teaching on the Mount of Olives. This is often called the Olivet Discourse. And it is a teaching that centers on Christ's second coming at the end of the present age to establish his millennial kingdom on the earth. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ is answering three questions from his disciples. Note those with me if you would, beginning at verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Then Jesus goes right into it, chapter 24, chapter 25, and he answers those questions for the disciples. And while this teaching deals with the tribulation period, it can be used, if you would, to give us some signs along the road, some, if you would, precursors. In the last year and a half of what our world has been going through, I have seen, if you would, what I would call some precursors of things that are going to happen in the time of the tribulation. The latest one happened just this past week when the mayor of New York City came out and said to the citizens of New York City that you have to have a vaccine passport in order to go inside any restaurant, to go inside any gym to work out, or to go into any kind of entertainment center. Now, a vaccine passport, you have to have that proof or you cannot go in. Well, immediately my mind went to a time in the time of the tribulation in which the Bible prophesies that there will come a time when you're going to have the mark of the beast, and without it, you cannot buy or sell. So what the mayor of New York City did, I'm not saying he is saying that was the mark of the beast, but I am saying that is like a precursor of what is going to literally happen in the time of the tribulation. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would, gives us some precursors, some signs along the road, if you would, some things that are going to happen in the time of the tribulation But when you begin to see some of these things come to pass, then you know that the rapture of the church also is not far behind, because Jesus Christ can come at any moment. So in verse number 7, the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us what I call physical signs. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, for he says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or many places. So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that in the time of the tribulation, there are going to be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. In other words, it's going to increase in its intensity. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and here we have what is known as the seal judgments that will take place during the time of the tribulation. The reason I'm having you note this, this mirrors what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 24, that there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. Notice in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Look now at verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now go into chapter 8. In chapter 8, we come to verse number 7, and he introduces us to the trumpet judgments. But notice now at verse 7, for the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So a further exposition, if you would, of what Jesus taught back here in Matthew chapter 24, that there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places or in many places. One commentator wrote this, speaking of Revelation. He says, crops and other vegetation will be devastated throughout the world. Those who depend upon the sea for food will suffer famine. A third of the world's shipping will be destroyed. Countless people will be poisoned from contaminated water supplies, and calendars, seasons, and tides will be thrown out of kilter. The physical and emotional agony will be so excruciating that men will gnaw their tongues for pain. So Jesus is saying that in the time of the tribulation, there will come a time when these famines and pestilences and earthquakes, you say, well, Pastor, the world has already experienced some of these things, famines and pestilence and earthquakes. I get that. But what Jesus is saying is they're going to increase. They're really going to intensify in the time of the tribulation. But think about over the last 20 years, really in our world, if you're paying any attention at all, that you know that we do have famines in this world. You do know that we have pestilences. Remember now, Jesus says here, they are plural, not singular. And some look at this matter of the coronavirus and say that there are going to be many different kind of variants that are going to come to pass just from that one. And so you can expect, if you will, what Jesus is teaching, for all this to ramp up in intensity, that it is only going to get worse. I know there is a group of people out there who believe that the world is going to become better and better. The world is not going to become better. The world, according to the New Testament scripture, teaches us that things are going to get worse before they do get better. And we find that there will be these famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And so it does not surprise me when doctors say, hey, there is more coming, because they're basically saying what Jesus is already teaching here, that these things are going to increase, but they're going to increase in intensity so much so that mankind will gnaw their tongues for pain. You recall there in Revelation chapter 9 that there will also, with one of those trumpet judgments, will come a time in which men will be inflicted, if you would, with scorpion-like bites, and they will seek to die, but they cannot die. For 5 months, their body will be in pain. So again, think about this. The Lord is going to, if you would, continue to shake up the world system as we know it, the physical planet as we know it, and these things are going to increase. And so when we as a church, when we think about the coming of Christ and we see these things come to pass, even though in our country we've seen earthquakes happen, in our country we've seen some times of famine, in our time we've seen pestilences, but just understand they're going to increase, which only points for the church, not the signs that we're looking for, but for the Savior to come, that Jesus Christ is coming at any moment. So he gives us these physical signs. But also notice back in Matthew 24 and verse 7, he talks about some international signs. For he says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, church, the road ahead leads through several nations. For instance, it's going to lead through Russia. This is prophesied for us in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 38. There are some who believe that under President Reagan and the Cold War, that Russia basically is not as powerful as she once was and so forth, and that she has just been put off on the shelf. But biblically, that is not true. Russia, the great bear, is going to come one day down upon Israel. She will be a factor again in the end times, that she will be a major player. I believe that currently she is a major player, even in world events right now, particularly with Iran and things going on there, and how they seem to be helping out that country too. Because you see, they want to eliminate Israel. They want to do away with Israel. And so Russia is going to be a major player. Then also, according to Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, there will be this 10-nation alliance that will form together. And under, if you would, the leadership of the Antichrist, once he comes on the scene, and there will be this 10-nation alliance that will take place. And so these European countries, and actually this alliance has already taken place, there's more than 10 nations, but one day it'll be narrowed down to 10-nation alliance. And so Jesus is saying that nations are going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and then the road also is going to go through Israel herself. For instance, in Daniel chapter 7, it is prophesied that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, those of you that know your Bibles at all and have heard sermons along the way in your Christian life, you have heard many pastors, me included, say, keep your eye where? On Israel. Why? Because it's going to really boil down to that, because that last 7 weeks of tribulation, if you would, those last 7 years of tribulation are determined upon thy people. And so the church will be raptured out before that time of the tribulation begins. But then one day Israel will look upon him whom they have pierced. And so God is not done with Israel. And this is why I'm still a firm believer that any nation ought to be, if you would, a great friend to Israel. Now, I'm not saying that just as a political statement. I'm saying that as a biblical statement. Because the Bible says, according to the book of Genesis, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And I believe that one of the reasons why God has had his hand upon America over the years has been is that we have stood as a friend toward Israel. We may not always agree with their direction, but we have stood by them. And as long as we do that, I believe we can experience some of God's protective hand upon our country. But whenever a country stands against Israel, they can see God stand against them. And we find here that Jesus talks about these international signs. Now, I know what you may be thinking this morning, because believe me, I've sat where you've sat and I've heard prophecy sermons, and I'm thinking, you know, that's way out down the future. What does that got to do with me in the right now where I live and the problems I'm going through? It has a lot to do with your kind of life, what you're living. And stay with me on this, so don't tune out. Because even though these things are going to come to pass, and we believe firmly, and I'll deal with this next week when I preach a message entitled Millions Missing from the Road, that the church will be raptured out of here. That's our hope. We're not looking to go into the time of the tribulation. But we need to understand that these signs along the road are pointing us again near to the return of Jesus Christ. We're looking for that blessed hope. So Jesus talks about physical signs. He talks about international signs. Then there are also intellectual signs. Go with me to the Old Testament book of Daniel for a moment. Daniel chapter 12. Would you turn there? Daniel chapter 12. And I want you to notice in verse number 4. As the book begins to close out, here in Daniel chapter 12, we come now to verse number 4. There's a particular phrase I want you to notice. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." That's what I want you to underscore there in your thinking, that knowledge shall be increased. My. There was a time in my life when I resisted buying a cell phone. I thought, if you need me that bad, you've got my house number, call me. I did not want to have a cell phone. I thought, the people I knew at that time, it just seemed like they were constantly on the phone. They were just, you know, it's like, why would you want to do that to yourself? But guess what? Now I have one. And I enjoy the technology of that. There was a time when I said, there's no way I'm going to have a computer. There's just no way I'm going to do that. And guess what? I now have one. It used to be I would write my sermon notes out. I just write it out. And I got real nervous when I began. If you will look at my notes, they're typed out now. But I got real nervous the first time I preached from typed notes. I thought, man, I can't do that. Now I've got young guys like BJ and Tyler and Pastor Cody. Now they, when they get up here, they preach from a tablet. Not me. I'm afraid that thing is going to go blank on me, and then I'm going to go like, all right, what happens now? I guess sermon over. But nonetheless, technology is increasing. I read just this week where with Amazon, they have what a store called Whole Food Market out in Seattle. And now they have a new form of paying. Now get this. Remember, I told you about precursors. They have a Amazon One contactless payment option. Now here's how it works. If you were to go to that store and this is how you wanted to do it, you would insert your credit card and then you would hover your palm over the device and follow the prompts to associate that card with a unique palm signature being built in real time for you by computer vision technology. So once you have that set up, they said it only takes about 10 minutes. The next time you come in the store, all you got to do is just put your hand over that device and it'll recognize your palm print, and out the door you go. You don't have to mess, if you would, pulling out the credit card or your debit card or cash. You can just put that over that device. Now again, in one way, that's an amazing thing. I remember just a few years ago where I didn't see this on television very much, but I know clearly I saw a commercial where an individual was walking out of the grocery store, but as they were walking out, they walked through like a scanner. They just took their groceries, they had them in a bag, and they walked out, but the scanner scanned them, if you would, and they didn't have to, again, pay cash or anything of that nature. They paid, don't get me wrong, they're going to get their money. But it was, I thought to myself, that is coming. Now, again, precursor to what? One day, without the mark, you can't buy or sell. Now, think about technology in another way. Some of you guys might like this, where they now have what is called hands-free driving. Now, I'd be a little afraid of that. Not that there's times where I don't want to just pull over and sleep, but they have hands-free driving now. I can't tell you how all of that works. Somehow it works, but GM has it, BMW has it, and now Ford has joined the fray. And I don't know how much these cars cost at this point, but hands-free driving, the technology that is out there, and how your car can talk to you and you can talk to your car, amazing things. Yet the Bible prophesies that knowledge shall be increased. But I can't help but think of in Romans chapter 12, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Because while knowledge is increasing, you don't see a strong drive and a hunger and thirst for the knowledge of God. Knowledge without God. But Jesus gives us some signs and says there's that physical sign. There's those international signs. There's the intellectual sign. Then there's the moral signs. Go back now to chapter 24 of Matthew and look, if you would, now at verse 12, the first phrase of the verse, and because iniquity shall abound. Now, church, we are living in a time of abounding lawlessness where we are even having politicians in some of our states who are promoting defunding the police, doing away with the police. They're becoming very close to that. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, where all the riots began just a little over a year ago, and their city board there says they basically want to do away with all the police. And guess what? There is this hatred, if you would, by some toward the men and women in the blue and white. And it's frightening. Because then who's going to be the law? Who's going to take matters and help us out when we need the protection? Abounding lawlessness. Now again, the Bible talks about this. Jesus says that iniquity is going to abound. Even more so, now get this for a moment. We'll talk more about this next week. But when the church is taken out, you know who also is taken out? The Holy Spirit. Paul refers to him in Thessalonians as the restrainer. You say, Pastor, is it going to get worse? Yes, it will really get worse in this world once the restrainer is taken out of the way. And this is why we believe, one of the strong reasons why we believe the church will be raptured out of here, because Jesus says that we will never be left alone, that he will abide with us forever. But when that restrainer is taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, think about how much more lawlessness will abound. Iniquity will abound. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy for a moment. 2 Timothy, and let's look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look, if you would, now at verse number 1 and following. As we're reading it, just think about lawlessness and what Jesus is saying, that iniquity will abound. and what that will look like. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Troublesome times are going to come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Here even Paul gives us a picture of what is going to be like in the end times. Perilous times, troublesome times are going to come. Abounding lawlessness is going to take place. And with that will come the demise of the family. My, we have that today. We have been experiencing that today. We have the sexual revolution going on in our day. And one of the sad things and results of that is a major thing called sex trafficking, and how terrible all of that is. But we're living in this time of sexual revolution where now people are told to, or being asked, if you would, to refer to people by a pronoun. Well, last I looked, God created male and female. Amen? They're male and female. There is no other. That's not popular to say, but it's biblical to say. And we need to understand this truth, because your children, those of you that have children, your children today are being bombarded with this kind of thinking that it's just a normal lifestyle. And if your children think any different, they're abnormal. No, your children are normal. And believing that God is the one who created male and female, and always has, always will. God hasn't changed his mind. God hasn't changed his plan. And yet we're living in this kind of society today in which it is very, very normal. And yet, again, what did Jesus say? Here back to Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound. It's abounding, church. If you don't have your head in the sand, you can see it. It's happening in our society in which we live. Not only in our country, but around the world. But there's another sign that Jesus talked about along the road. And we go back to Matthew 24 and the end of verse 12. The love of many shall wax cold. Jesus in verse 5 talked about, as we get near his return, that there will be a time of deception. Look at this now, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man, what? Deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now look, if you would, at verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, I won't have you turn there, but listen to this verse. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We are witnessing in our country, not just around the world, but in our country, where there is this departing from the faith that is happening. I share with you about a month ago of a man who taught in a Bible. He was a professor in a Bible college. He was also part of another ministry. And I didn't know him, but I know the man that whose ministry he was involved with, John Piper. And I think about that and how this man came out and said, and this broke my heart when I read it. He said, I no longer believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that is the happiest day of my life. It gives me chills as I say that. A man who was influential, teaching in a Bible college in Chicago, then being involved in another ministry, and now recanting that. There have been some Christians, professing Christians in the music entertainment world, if you would. I'm talking about Christian entertainment world, who have come out and said, I no longer hold to that. Is that what the Bible is saying when it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith? People saying that the Bible is no longer the Word of God. The church isn't really what is all cracked up to be. The Christianity really isn't true. The greatest day of my life now, the happiest day of my life is now that I'm not saved. Oh, that's chilling even as I say those words, because that man dies in his sin. He dies and goes to hell. Tell me, how can that be your happiest day? Yet, Jesus says that the love of many is going to wax cold. That there is going to be this deception that is going on. Go with me, if you would, to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, and I want you to notice the last church that John writes to. It's the church at Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, and I want you to notice just a few verses with me in this particular passage. Revelation chapter 3, begin with me now, if you would, at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church at Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Many times that verse is used, and I know people mean well, because I've even used it this way, as someone unsaved. But in this passage, the Lord is talking to the saved. And he's saying, I stand at the door and knock. What happened? This church, if you would, close the door on the Lord. Close the door on fellowship with him. And he says, I stand at that door and I knock, and I want to come in and I'll fellowship with you. But we find that this church said a statement in verse 17. One of the phrases, and have need of nothing. I think in many ways the church today resembles the Laodicean age, where we're rich and we have need of nothing. The church, think about churches you know of, one church you belong to, and I'm speaking to myself as I'm speaking to you right now. How much does this church pray? Say, well, we have Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's true. But how much do we pray? And obviously, I'm not with you every day. I can't gauge how many times you pray. But oftentimes, what happens, churches today get caught up in what can we do to grow the church. Stay with me now, because your pastor has done the same thing. I was talking with one of our ladies this morning about that very thing. What can we do to get more young people in our church? There's nothing wrong with thinking about that. But hear me very carefully. It's not based on my great plans. It's not based on Pastor Cody's great plans. It's not based upon our plans as a church. I'm not saying we don't do nothing. I'm not saying that. But hear me carefully. What does church miss at Laodicea? They miss the Lord. They miss the Lord. And Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 2, or I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is noted as where in all those churches? He was in the midst. He was, if you would, like that on that candelabra, he was the candle in the middle among the seven churches, but he wasn't recognized as the preeminent one. We got this, Lord. Thank you for bringing us so far. You have, but we got this now. We got a good plan. We know how. We got a good vision statement. We got a good mission statement. We got all of. And please hear me. There's nothing wrong in of themselves with those things, but without the Lord, all is vain. Unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, as the songwriter wrote, and the Laodicean church missed who they needed most. They missed Jesus. And yet Jesus says, hold on, I got an invitation for you. I'll knock at your door. If you'll open it up, I'll come in and we can have sweet fellowship again. One of the things that really is a burden on my heart is that Calvary Baptist Church does not, if you would, blend in with the spirit of our age, but that we be on fire for God, that we have a heart for Him, that we have, as was sung this morning, a passion for God, a passion for His Word, a passion to be together. I'm really concerned that less than 20% of America goes to church anywhere today. And we wonder then, why is our country in the shape it's in? Because we've turned our back on God. I know I'm being blunt, but we got to speak the truth. What's the answer? You've heard me say many times, it's not who's in the White House. Our answer is right here. Our answer is the Lord, as my daughter sang this morning. Jesus is still the answer. And we have got to say, Lord, as I understand these signs along the road, they point to the fact that you are coming soon. And Lord, I want to be on fire for you. I want to be faithful. Every time the doors of Calvary Baptist Church are open, I'm going to be there. Every time they have a function, if I'm feeling well and able to be there, I'm going to be there. I'm going to help this church really excel and grow. And Lord, we need you. F.B. Meyer wrote, preacher of yesteryear, I believe that there is one thing which pierces the master's heart with unutterable grief. It is not the world's iniquity, but the church's indifference. What a statement. Romans 13:11, listen to this. And that knowing the time, seeing the sign, and knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So I ask you this morning, are you reading the signpost along the road? Are you, as you live your daily life, are you looking? Jesus is pointed them out to us. Again, not that he's teaching us to look for signs. We're to look for him. But these signs indicate to us that his coming is soon. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, listen to me carefully. You are on the broad road that leads to destruction. Jesus taught about that in Matthew 7. But you can get on that narrow road By grace, you can be saved. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. Where you acknowledge that you're lost, that you are a sinner, and you have no way of saving yourself. And you place all of your faith and all of your trust in the one who can forgive you of all of your sin, who can save you and give you eternal life. He then will take you off that broad road that's leading to destruction and put you on the narrow road and give you the gift of eternal life. And church family, isn't that the best gift of all? Say amen. It's the best gift of all, the gift of eternal life. For those of you that are saved, you are on that road that leads to heaven. But I ask you as I close, have you allowed your love for the Lord to cool? Laodicean church, they weren't hot, they weren't cold, they were lukewarm. And Jesus said, I'd like to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to encourage you, church, to take an examination of your own heart and say, where am I in my relationship with the Lord? Am I hot or am I cold? I don't want to be in the middle. Jesus is coming soon. When he comes, I want to have confidence before him at his coming. He is coming. Are you ready? Every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a moment, Sister Sherry will begin to play through, have your way, Lord, have your way. But I wonder this morning, there'll be someone here who say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I want to know. I really want to cement this down in my heart, my thinking. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. If that's you, would you raise your hand, rub your hand, say, Pastor, that's my need. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I really want to nail it down. I want to know. Anybody at all while we wait? Would there be those here this morning in your life who would say, you know, I'm not where I ought to be in my relationship with the Lord. I'm really not hot for him. I'm really not cold. I'm just right in the middle, and I don't want to be there. If that's you this morning, I'm going to encourage you during this time of invitation to come and kneel here and say, Lord, I want to be thoroughly right with you. I want to be on fire for you. I want to have a strong passion for you and your word, strong passion for the church, a strong passion for the souls of men. Lord, I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be hot for you. This morning, I'm going to encourage you when we stand together. When Sherry begins to play, I'm going to encourage you to come and just kneel here and say, Lord, in light of your coming, I want to be thoroughly right with you, and I want to be on fire for you. Help me, Lord. I need you to help me to be on fire for you. God will meet you where you are, but you come this morning. I'll be glad to pray with you. If you want to pray by yourself, that's fine, but you come. Let the Lord help you. Now, Father, I thank you for the blessed hope that the church has, that Jesus Christ is coming. It may be today. It may be today he comes. And so when he comes, help us to have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Continue to teach us how to be ready when Jesus comes over these next few weeks. But may today this be a starting point in some Christians' lives where they would say, I'm not hot, I'm not cold, I'm kind of lukewarm. And that they would say, today, I'm going to move off that path and have a strong passion for my God and for his word and for his church. Stir them today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.